So let's welcome Andy as he comes up and shares the word with us. Thanks, Andy. Woo!
Amen. Amen. Good. If we can have the first slide up, and then we'll take it from there and see how far we get. That's fine. Good. Well, it's great to be here. Just to reinforce something before I kind of get into the message. Links International, that many of you all know, privilege of being CEO of. We had a charity auction a couple of months ago now, and the guys running the auction made a very important statement at the beginning, which I'd just like to reinforce what Ian has already said. Charity auctions are not about getting bargains. They are about paying ridiculously over-the-top sums of money for something for the sake of the cause that you're giving to. So just remember that next week. That would be good. So it is good to be here. Last week, I had the privilege of speaking at a church called River Stone in San Marcos, Texas. This week, I'm at River Church Slough, and next week, I will be at Wellspring, Bweyogereri in Uganda. And there is that common thread running through all of a common thread, all of that river of life that Beth led us into at the start of the worship this morning. And thanks, Beth. That was amazing. And I also like that. I also like that Oceans song that we finished with. Curiously, it was the last song we sang in San Marcos last week, and that's the first time I'd actually heard it, although I'm a bit behind the curve on that. So it was great to sing that again. Maybe we can sing that again at the end. So my title this morning is Bringing Life, and we're just going to be looking at a couple of verses in John 10. And I do not pretend this morning to bring anything to you that is new. I will be bringing things to you this morning that are, I'm sure, not new to the vast majority, if not all of you. But they are things that have impacted me afresh just over this last couple of months. In fact, to declare my sources, the kind of key thread, the kind of core of what I'm saying, I heard from a Malawian village leader, not a pastor, a village leader, back in October. And as he said this to a group of people, something inside me went, yes, that's so true. I want to get hold of that and share that message. So that's kind of the core of what I'm sharing today. But having said it, it's not new. I wouldn't be sharing it if I didn't think it was worth getting hold of. So I want to bring some words here this morning, which I hope will encourage you. I hope will challenge you, but most of all, I hope will bring the word of the Lord to us all, that we can be more transformed into the likeness of Jesus. So if you've got a Bible, you might just want to turn to John 10. And is this going to work? Yay. And just a few verses from that chapter. Jesus said to them again, he said to them again, because if you read the verses just before this, he'd been explaining some stuff about the sheepfold and being part of the sheepfold, and they just didn't get it. They just didn't get it. So he has to say it again, which always encourages me as a speaker, that even Jesus brought things and people didn't get it first time. So Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Probably quite familiar words, but let's just let them impact us afresh this morning. I have come that they may have life. I have come, Jesus says, that you, that I, may have life and have that more abundantly. Many of you who've been in church for a while will know the old joke that obviously Jesus likes Kaylee's and, you know, gatherings with folk bands because he said that I've come that they may have life and have it in abundance. I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. In that word, if you look in the Greek, research it a bit, it's not a stingy word. I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly, overflowing, a superfluous amount, an overflowing amount. Not just something where we're just getting by. But Jesus says, I have come that you, that I may have life in full technicolor, if you like. This is not a monochrome life. This is a technicolor life. So, I have 3 points. And the first one is simply this. Jesus, in talking about this sheepfold, in talking about what it is to be part of the kingdom of God, makes this incredibly bold statement, incredibly profound statement. He says, I am the door. Jesus is the door. And I guess most of us would not be sitting here if we didn't believe that, but let's think again what that actually means, that Jesus is the door. It's not that there's all of this kind of stuff, which are the qualifications, which are the door, and Jesus is the kind of guardian of the door. It's Jesus himself is the door. Jesus himself is the qualifier, if you like. Jesus himself is the way in. Not all of the other stuff that so often we kind of lapse into thinking. And that got Jesus into trouble. He demonstrated that in the way he treated people when he was walking around here. You see, for the Pharisees, for the religious people of his day, the first thing they wanted people to do was behave. They wanted people to behave in a certain way. And when they saw the people that Jesus was associating with, time and time again, that's what they pointed to. They said, don't you know that these are, well, sinners, publicans, but they pointed to, they do the wrong things. When the woman came and anointed Jesus' feet with her tears, there was this all kind of snide behind the hand kind of muttering going on. You know, if he knew what manner of woman she was. Of course, Jesus knew what manner of woman she was. That's why he was welcoming her. And it's easy for us to sit with the benefit of 2 millennia of history and point the finger at the Pharisees and go boo hiss like they're the pantomime villain coming on the stage. And but actually wonder for myself how I would have reacted. And I look at the church, not River Church Slough, not River Church, not the church. And I wonder how often that's actually the first thing we point at. Okay, you're welcome to come along, but we want you to behave in a certain way. And Jesus stood there and said, I am the door. Come in. Come in. But they wanted people to behave. Then it was important they believe the right things. Can you tick the right boxes of theology? And again, they come to Jesus and they try and catch him out with kind of nuances and all sorts of stuff which were kind of the theological debate of the time. Commentators look at the things that they brought to Jesus as questions and they look back at contemporary documents and they were just trying to catch him out with theological hot potatoes. Jesus, do you believe the right stuff? Can you tick the right boxes? Are you a dispensationalist, a premillennialist, a whatever? What do you believe exactly about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What do you believe exactly about the fivefold ministries of the church? What do you believe exactly about the sovereignty of God or the openness of God or the... Well, they didn't ask him those questions. They're the questions we might ask. Do you believe the right things? If you behave in the right way, if you believe the right things, then welcome. You belong with us. That's what the church still does. But Jesus stood there and said, I am the door of the sheepfold. And the way Jesus did it then was to say, I'm the door you belong. Come in. Come in. Follow me, Jesus said. You belong with me. I watched a documentary the other day about Lady Gaga. Now, I don't know how many of you are familiar with her work, or indeed have even heard of her, maybe, but... Lady Gaga is a kind, well, I'm going to say she's a pop artist. She's more than that, really. She's a performing artist who's getting involved in all sorts of different aspects of the arts. She's actually quite, having listened to the interview, she's a fascinating woman. But as part of the documentary, they interviewed some of the people who were camped out outside her hotel when she came to London. And people were camped out outside her hotel just to get a glimpse of Lady Gaga. I mean, in some ways, that's not new. You know, the Beatles were greeted by thousands of screaming people when they landed at Heathrow and all the rest of it. And we've seen the footage and some of us may even remember it. But what these people said was fascinating. That there was one guy, and I'm going to have to paraphrase what he said. I can't remember the exact words, but it was something like this. She gets us. We are the geeks and the outcasts. And she's been where we've been. She gets us. We belong with her. People are looking to belong. They are looking to belong and to know that they're included in and that the people they're belonging with understand them, get them. And that's what Jesus did. He said, follow me. I can make you. In me, you can find belonging. And if that's what Jesus did, if we really believe Jesus is the door, that's got to be our starting point. And then, yeah, there's stuff to believe. There's stuff to understand about Jesus and who he is. And all that he came to do and is still doing. And sure, as we belong and as we believe, then God does speak to us. There is stuff that falls away from our lives. There is stuff that we want to change, that we need to change. But it's not the starting point. The starting point is Jesus is the door. You belong because everyone belongs in Jesus. Everyone belongs in Jesus. And here's some stuff to know about Jesus, to understand about Jesus. And then let's see what happens. Let's see what the Holy Spirit will do. Jesus is the door. Second point, again, very simple. Jesus made sense of all of existence on this earth with this really simple statement. The thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. There is an enemy out there, and his sole task is to kill and steal and destroy. And you only have to open your paper today, switch on the news, or just, in some cases, just wake up and look at our own lives to know that that is true. And I don't want to spend too much time majoring on this, but it is important to understand this, to know, number one, and most importantly, it's not God's fault. And also not to beat ourselves up all the time. There is an enemy out there, and we are engaged in a battle. As I said, I'm the CEO of Links International, and when I travel, particularly when I go to developing world situations, nowhere is that more apparent than there. Just a couple of slides about that. This was Zambia in October. And in case it's difficult to work out what's going on, those ladies are getting some water because that's their supply of water. That's the only supply of water currently for their village. Those of you with good eyesight can perhaps glimpse inside the bucket and notice that the water they're collecting really doesn't look that great. That's because it's not. It is that colour. It's not the colour balance on the projector. It is that grey, horrible colour. What you can't see, because it's too dark to see down inside that hole, is the rats that I saw swimming in the water when I looked down in there. And it takes actually three of them. There's another lady cut out of shot here to get that one bucket up. So this morning, when I cleaned my teeth and turned the tap on, it's good to remember and be thankful. I just encourage, I'm sure I've said this to you before, but it's just a great day-by-day, assuming you do clean your teeth every day, reminder of how blessed we are, just to be able to turn that tap on and drink the water that is coming out so easily. That isn't right. That is not right, beloved. That today, as we draw to the end of 2013, that there are brothers and sisters in Christ, or human beings generally, who have to do that every day. And then get ill because the water isn't suitable. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I think I showed you this picture once before. India, March this year, leper colony. Developed nation in so many ways, India. And yet, Lakshmaya here is in a leper colony next to a rubbish dump. leprosy is treatable with antibiotics in its early stages, so no one need to get to that point, and certainly no one needs to be banished to a leper colony. But just like the people who came to Jesus as outcasts, those people still exist today in parts of the world. The thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And this isn't to show Jan as a victim. Many of you know Jan Vickers. It's just, I've put her there to stand for the fact that we don't have to be in Zambia or India to know the work of the enemy in afflicting our body with sickness, disease. We're believing for Jan's complete healing. But the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. And even just the stuff we're praying about first thing. The bugs, the stuff that gets us down, that steals from us the life that our Father would want for us. But the answer is this. We are called to connect people to life beyond measure. Jesus came and said, I am the door, and I have come that you may have life and have it beyond measure. And my simple question, I suppose, is this. What does that look like? What does life beyond measure look like? Because it's, you know, there's that song, There Must Be More Than This. And wonderful though this is, and it's great to be here this morning, but you do know this isn't life beyond measure, don't you? Great though it is. It's part of it, but it's not it. Life beyond measure is what it says it is. It's every aspect of our lives in all of its diversity. Life beyond measure is not about what we do on a Sunday morning, Thursday evening, Wednesday evening, whatever you do, midweek, if you do anything at the moment. It's about life. This is something that a friend of mine called Perry Ann talked to me about just a couple of days ago. And it impacted me so much. The word universe is, as you can see, made up of two parts. It actually comes from Latin, uni and versus. And universe basically means something being turned into one. When we think of the universe, we think of, I do anyway, of something diverse, of the planets and the galaxies and the stars going out into eternity in all of its complexity and diversity. The word universe talks about a unity, something being brought into one. And what the point is this, that in all of the complexity and diversity of the universe, there is a plan, there is a word, there is a unifying factor of God's purpose. That the whole of the universe, in its complexity and diversity, is united in our Heavenly Father, is united in Christ. And Scripture tells us that one day all things will be brought together, doesn't it? All of that diversity, all of that complexity. In the Message, we read this in Colossians. So spacious is he, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. This is Jesus. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death and his blood that poured down from the cross. All of that complexity brought together in Jesus. All of that brokenness caused by an enemy who comes to kill and steal and destroy, fit together and fixed in Jesus. And I use that verse and that idea of the universe because we can sit here and think, yeah, but it's all very well, Andy, but life's complicated and there's this problem, and there's this problem, and there's this problem, and you don't know what I'm facing here, and you don't know what, and I don't. But Jesus does. And in all of that complexity, in all of that complication, in all of that universe, there is one who still says, I'm the door and I've come that you may have life and have it beyond measure. And then we are called to be those who connect others to that life. What will that look like for us to connect people to life? It's not just going to mean that they turn up on a Sunday morning here. It's going to mean that every part of their life is impacted. So just to go back to some of those illustrations I used, this is dropping off the bottom of the screen, but this is just something as Links International we're trying to do in areas. That's a friend of mine called Sean, who's actually from Texas, who flew over to Malawi, and some repairs had already been done to that hand pump borehole, and he's just checking it. Life beyond measure means we don't just sit there and, as the words of the book of James say, be warmed, brother, when we see people in need. Life beyond measure means people have clean water. Doesn't sound too much of an ask, does it? Life beyond measure means people... Oh, what happened there? Somehow. There we go. Life beyond measure means people have dignity in their life. This is a lady in Malawi. The team from River went recently in October, led by Ian and Liz Linton. And this was a lady they visited who has been given a small loan to start a business selling the stuff you can see here. Being taken from dependency to sufficiency. Not overabundance at the moment, but it's a start. Bringing life beyond measure means connecting people to life in every aspect. And so, final slide. What's it look like here? O2, say we're better connected. Well, yes, Slough is better connected when we bring life, when we connect Slough to life. What does it mean for us to connect the people of Slough to life? What's it going to mean in the next 7 days with the people we encounter to connect them to life? To know that we have that life within us. To have confidence that we have that life within us. We might not understand it all, but we have been connected to life in Jesus. And we can take that life to others. We can come against the work of the one who comes to kill and steal and destroy and bring life. Beth, I wonder if you could come back and... Can we just have the chorus of that ocean song up on the screen? The last one Beth sang, it's called Oceans. Keep going. And again, sorry, it's not the chorus, the bit at the end. There we go. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Life, abundant life, life beyond measure, doesn't have borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior, that is. And I'd like us just to sing this again as a prayer for the next 7 days. Jesus is the door. People belonging him belong in him. We can help people to belong. There is a thief who comes to kill and destroy. We can stand against that. We are called to connect people to life beyond measure. And that at times is going to be scary. So let's make our prayer for our trust in him to be without borders. Father, I just want to ask for each one of us, for myself very much included, that in this next 7 days, Lord, you would show us what it is to be carriers of life. Carriers of life, carriers of your life. Lord, where a word can help people to belong in you, where a prayer can stand against the work of the enemy, where what we do can help connect people to your life. In every way, Lord, in that universe of complexity that we call life, that we would see your hand bringing all things together in Jesus.